How are we doing today? How are we doing on this Pisces new moon? I feel like it's a good one. Like we do sometimes feel emotional, you know, when Pisces, heavy Pisces stuff is going on, but I kind of think it's a good one. And we'll talk about why in a second, but I'm kind of excited for this new moon. I think it's a nice kind of foreshadowing of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that's coming up at the end of April. So yeah, we'll talk about why I think this new moon sort of foreshadows that that transit that's very important, maybe the most significant transit of 2024 happens at the end of April. And you know, this new moon, there's something connected to that transit and how that transit is going to play out. But how are we doing? I know, yes, yeah, sleepy, very sleepy because of the time change. my reflection on this past week was, I think that Mercury finishing up their time in Pisces, that last conjunction to Neptune that happens like basically Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and up until today, because Mercury just moved into Aries. Thank God. but I was thinking, like, there were some, towards the end of the week, there were some sort of exacerbated thought patterns. And, you know, there were some sort of spirals, I think, with that Mercury-Neptune conjunction. But at the same time, even though Neptune makes Mercury, the planet of our minds, kind of confused, kind of fluffy, maybe more prone to, you know, those thought spiraling moments. It can also bring us to a place of inspiration and a place of intuitive download that's really important. So if you have gotten any really interesting ideas over the past couple days about how to move forward with a dream, a project, how to, you know, implement something new, I would say that's not a coincidence because, again, Mercury, the planet of the mind, conjunct Neptune, the planet of, I guess, spiritual connection. I would say pay attention to those downloads that have been going on for the past couple days. And now that we all join here today on Sunday, March 10th, on the Pisces new moon, you know, there's something here because Mercury has now moved into Aries. It's a significantly huge shift for Mercury. Mercury is at its detriment in Pisces, meaning Mercury can't really function the way he wants to in Pisces. This doesn't mean that Mercury in Pisces is inherently bad, but, you know, there's something transit-wise where we're having trouble with mercurial tasks, thinking clearly, delivering messages, that kind of thing, putting things into action, technology. And now that Mercury has moved into Aries, it's such a breath of fresh air for our minds. It's sort of like a cloud has been lifted from our this sort of Neptunian fog. And we're able to put more things into action. Okay, Corey, yeah, your Mercury is in Pisces. Yeah, so Neptune's transiting your Mercury. Yeah. That can be a little bit difficult. Yeah, to really be able to see what is the clear path ahead, right? And yeah, we've arrived at the new moon. We've arrived at Mercury moving into Aries. Let's talk a little bit about the new moon in Pisces, which is one of my favorite new moons because, well, I guess I'm biased, but I was born on the Pisces new moon. Or I guess like right before the Pisces new moon because technically my moon is the balsamic or dark moon. So basically, I was born and then maybe 10, 7, 7 or 10 hours later, the Pisces new moon perfected. So I always like this new moon because it is something that is in my natal chart. And I think that the Pisces new moon, specifically, though, in an unbiased way, this is a new moon that is really, really about, I think, making peace with the past so we can move forward. Just in the sense that Pisces is the final sign of the zodiac. There's some kind of metaphor with Pisces that has to do with, how the leaves fall from the tree in the fall, and then they start to decompose on the topsoil and start to create a fertilizer for the spring flowers to then come through, right? Like, that's kind of Pisces. It's the decomposition, it's the liminal space when we're transforming between the old cycle and the new cycle. That part of the butterfly's journey where it's like in the cocoon and it's like basically liquid or like sludge, while it's decomposing, and then somehow in some miraculous way it turns into something else. So it's an interesting energy, Pisces, because in a lot of ways it does represent dying. But it's not just necessarily the death of like the material or the physical form. It's how the material decomposes. This is a little bit graphic, but how the material decomposes in order to like create the nutrients for the next cycle, right? And we could even think about this in like a composting metaphor. It's so funny, I didn't make this connection until now, but I have been trying to get more into composting, which is very Pisces new moon, just because I'm like, ugh. I mean, it's not that recycling doesn't help at all, but I'm like, I think what would really help is that we just all make a better effort to compost, right? And luckily, Chicago has some free compost drop-off bins and things like that. So I'm like, all right, in this horrible world, let's just, try to compost a banana peel, and do the things you can. So there's something like that metaphorically on the Pisces new moon where it's like the compost is now completely decomposed into the now nutrient-rich soil. But we have to, we have to figure out where am I going to place this nutrient-rich soil, you know, and what am I going to grow? And that's kind of the transition from Pisces to Aries to Taurus. And I love looking at the signs in threes. And we could take any sign and talk about, you know, the transition between, like, let's say Gemini to Cancer to Leo, or Capricorn to Aquarius to Pisces. That's also another one of my favorite, like, transitions. But the Pisces-Aries-Taurus transition, which we're in right now, what that represents is we're taking the nutrient-dense compost, which is Pisces, and we're laying it now into the new gardening bed and planting the seeds, which is sort of like Aries, like the new seed, the new sprout. And then it starts to create some kind of material form, which is Taurus. Okay. So just kind of getting into that frequency of nature, at least in the in this hemisphere, it is spring. So, you know, we can really take some wisdom from what nature is actually doing right now, because nature is, we're literally seeing the transition from Pisces, Aries, Taurus outside our windows right now. Depending on where you live, if you live somewhere that has the four seasons and it is spring. Corey, you said food trash is gold. Let's not put it where nothing grows. And have you ever read The Book of Houses? Every gardener astrologer would love it. I haven't, but I will put that on my list. I'll write it down. That sounds really fun. I love an astrological book recommendation. So thinking about this metaphor on the Pisces new moon is really important, especially this Pisces new moon, because this Pisces new moon is ruled by who rules Pisces? It's Jupiter, right? So and what is Jupiter doing right now? A big part of feeling into this new moon cycle is looking at Jupiter. And Jupiter is approaching, getting closer and closer to the conjunction with Uranus in Taurus. So there's some kind of implication in this new moon that this new moon has something to do with what is sprouting through the ground at the end of April into May, you know, when we're really feeling into that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. And it was so serendipitous because I randomly, like sporadically or spontaneously, I guess, went to grab coffee with my Pisces rising friend. And then later I went to grab a drink with my other Pisces rising friend. And I was like, it's weird. Like, you know, the universe put two Pisces risings in my, like, you know, in my energy in this day. And it was funny because both of these people, both directly and indirectly, reminded me how much the energy of Pisces likes to pine. You know, like, you know, we love a good pine. We love pining after, you know, the past. We love pining after a potential of the future. My one Pisces friend was like, oh yeah, like I'll make anything up in my mind and pine after it. And I was like, it's such a Pisces thing. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, like the energy of pining can hinder us, though. I think sometimes it can be good because it depends what kind of pining we're doing, right? Like, yeah, major piner. That should be my merch. That should be, I should get that in merch. So what was I gonna say? So pining, like when we're hoping and desiring for something, I think sometimes that can be a good thing because it can kind of point us to our true desires. It can point us to maybe sort of an imaginative manifestation frequency. I think on some level, imagination is similar to pining. Although imagining or visualizing the future, I think, is a little bit more neutral, where sometimes pining can come from a place of like longing or even desperation, right? And sometimes the pining, the energy of the pining is actually, I'm so deeply desiring or even desperate for the thing that I don't have, right? And, you know, I'm not a manifestation expert, but I do think that that's not completely the correct energy to put behind our manifestations, right? Like, you don't want to manifest or at least attempt to manifest something in the vibe of, oh my God, I'm so desperate. This has to happen. I'm desiring this so deeply. I need this. Like, you know, because that's actually translating to, I don't have this thing in my life, right? Like, this thing in my life is nowhere to be found. And then we end up amplifying that sort of desperation of the pining, you know? And I bring this up because both my Pisces rising friends made me think about, like, well, what is the highest frequency of pining? And I was thinking, like, the highest frequency of pining, or maybe, I don't know if it's really, maybe it's more the opposite of that desperation pining energy, is really desiring the life that you already have in some way. You know, it's kind of Four of Cups, Four of Pentacles. Amy, you said, I must have Pisces in my chart. I'm a huge daydreamer and piner. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Katie, you said, a dangerous mix of desperation and foolish optimism. Totally, totally. And Amy, you said, I think a part of pining is the rush of life forced on us by virtual existence. Slowing down, I trust, and stop pining. Yeah. Corey, you said, Pisces, Venus, Mercury, Sun in the fifth. I'm feeling called out with this pining business. Yeah, like, you know, like, I too have many Pisces placements, and I can get caught up a little bit in that, like, thinking about something that you want every single day and, like, imagining a life where you have that thing, right? But yet, what have you done today? Like, literally today, Sunday, March 10th. Like, what is a realistic step that you have taken, you know, in order to get to that? And that's the danger of pining. You know, the danger of pining is just being so stuck in the imagination of the end goal that we never actually take the steps to, like, the literal daily steps, to, like, I can't tell you even how, I think I've told you guys this, but I've been, you know, kind of, in the process of at least beginning my Italian citizenship process, which is just a huge pain in the batootie. Let me just tell you. And, like, I will literally just pine over, like, this lifestyle where I can spend extended period of time in Italy without worrying about, like, a visa or whatever. Doing my, you know, astrology work and teaching virtually or whatever. You know, it's the dream, right? To be able to kind of travel for half my time and then come back to Chicago for the other half, right? And I'll be like, okay, I really feel like that's what I'm desiring and I'm pining after, yet what, like, I need to go and get an appointment at the Italian consulate in Chicago, and it's a big pain in the butt, and I don't want to do it. Like, I like, you know, like, that's the literal realistic step, right, that I need to take. But instead, you're like pining, you know, you're just imagining something that could happen, but you'd have to put one foot in front of the other, you know, like, and I'm calling myself out here. I wouldn't be this hard on anybody else, but, you know, there's something here about getting real with ourselves. And I think this is the Taurus connection to the Pisces new moon. Because remember, today's Pisces new moon is ruled by Jupiter in Taurus approaching the conjunction with Uranus in Taurus. Taurus is a lot more about the material world and how do we wisely move the matter, the physical matter that is in front of us. How do we make the matter grow? How do we move that matter? How do we make that matter solidified and also as permanent as we can? Like, you know, so there is some, there's matter that we need to deal with on this new moon, even though it's Pisces, even though there's a lot of imagination and pining, there's something about really getting realistic with ourselves, right? So, you know, choose something on this Pisces new moon, or choose a few things where you're like, all right, I gotta take the first literal step. Now, sometimes I wrote this down. I was gonna tell you guys, so sometimes on the astrology podcast, I think they still do this. I haven't listened to the podcast in a while. But they give out an electional moment. If you don't know what electional astrology is, it's an opportune time or an opportune moment that an astrologer will elect or pick out, and you can use this moment to begin something. And because you chose a positive moment to begin it, the hope is that it carries through, right? So I was thinking, well, you know, a lot of this week is about turning, like, the pining into matter. Let's say that. The pining is turning into the matter. But I was thinking I did see a good election for this week, and it's actually on the 13th, March 13th, which is Wednesday. And by Wednesday, Venus will move into Pisces. That's going to be great because that means Venus is in Pisces, Jupiter's sign. Jupiter's in Taurus, Venus's sign. That's what we call mutual reception. So that means both the benefic planets, the good planets, the juicy planets, they're great. They're like going on a date. It's going well. You know, they're vibing. So I was like, okay, how can we use an election that sort of uses this energy? And so around noon on March 13th, around noon on March 13th, just thought this might be a good energy. I have, and you might have to adjust this for your own time period, so use your, you know, Time Passages app or whatever, but you're going to want to have a Cancer rising, Venus in Pisces is conjunct the midheaven in Pisces, and the moon is in Taurus approaching Jupiter in the 11th house, okay? So, and I'm on Central Time, so this happens around noon-ish, March 13th in Chicago, but depending on your location, just look for when, you know, those early degrees of Cancer rising on March 13th, when does that happen in your location? And I think it's a kind of a good moment to start something. You know, it's like a good moment to maybe attempt to bring something into the material world. Okay. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay. Let's do this. Sorry, I went to Electional Astrology Brainland, and it was, you know, I don't know if anybody really enjoyed that, but, well, I wanted to, I felt called to pull a few for our week ahead. I want to pull a past, present, future spread from the Sacred Symbols Oracle, which was made by Marcella Kroll, and I'm a big fan of theirs, and I also believe, I'm almost positive they're a Pisces with an Aries moon or something, so I just feel like this, it's like perfect, because the energy is kind of shifting over to this Pisces Aries kind of shift. Okay, so we'll ask Spirit about this moon cycle, because remember, the new moon begins in a moon cycle, and the next new moon will be an eclipse. Okay, so between now and the eclipse, you know, I want to do a past, present, future spread. So what are we now being called to let go of on this Pisces new moon? What is now in the past, or an energy that is just, you know, leaving? What is coming in? And then also the future, and I should say that's the present moment, and then this is also more like what's coming in. Okay, so interesting spread, my friends. So we got what is passing, or what we're letting go of is good fortune. Okay, don't panic. Don't panic. It's not to say that we are like, good fortune is leaving, right? But I do think this does directly go with the sort of pining message. What is passing is too much thinking about what could be, you know, too much imagining and focus on what we don't have, right? And the reason this is leaving is because we need to come into greater trust with what we do have and recognize the abundance and even desire what we already have. Like, and this is kind of just like a simple practice, but all of us right now have something that we once, you know, we once just like were manifesting, but now we have it. And think about how important that manifestation was when it happened, and don't let it go. Like, don't let the gratitude for that manifestation go. Like, for me, the easiest example is when I bought my car, which it was like in a period of time where it was still like pandemic era, right? And I had been living with my parents for a couple years. I've been saving my money. I was like really, it was actually really hard for me to hold the belief that I was going to like manifest this car, you know? And, but I'd walk around my parents' neighborhood every day and I'd see, you know, people's cars parked in their driveway. And I would just say like, okay, you're capable of this. Everybody in the neighborhood, you know, has a car. Why can't you also have a car? Why wouldn't you be able to manifest this? And, you know, luckily I do. And like, I try to think about that when I get in this car that I have now. And that car really did help me then move forward and start living the life that I live now. But, you know, just desiring what we already have. Like, oh, I love my car so much. Thank you so much, you know, universe, for helping me get to this. Like, we need to remember the manifestations. We need to acknowledge the manifestations that we have already brought into our existence right in front of us and amplify that versus amplifying the things that we think we don't have. And Corey, you said letting go of waiting for fortune to arrive. Exactly, exactly. That's what we're letting go of. And again, that's the Pisces Achilles heel. You know, the Pisces Achilles heel is like, I am so connected to the visualization of the intangible realm that I forget to, you know, go to the post office and mail the job application or whatever. I don't know. What is it? 1980? I don't know why we're mailing a job application, but you get what I'm saying. Like, we're so invested in the vision that we literally forget to like sign the paper and mail it, you know, or I don't know. So you get what I'm saying. That's what we're letting go of. We need to take the first material step. Okay. Now in the present moment, what are we dealing with? What do we have to acknowledge in the present moment to move forward? We actually got death and, talisman. Hey, yeah, so I don't know. You don't even have to be a poet to get this message, right? Like, in the present moment, it's actually medicine to accept what, to really accept the cycle is at an ending point, right? I mean, that's Pisces. And I've been actually using the mantra, it's okay. And in a weird way, it's helping me. Like, with, you know, a relationship that's kind of ended in the past month, and other realizations that I've been having. I actually think that the ending of some of these things has been easier because I've been sitting and just acknowledging the ending and just saying, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to miss this person. It's okay that the ending is here. The ending is okay. Because so many times we try to grip on and we try to keep the ending from happening. But when you make the ending okay, not only does it decrease our suffering, it honors our feelings in a weird way. Like, you know, like it honors, I'm sad and it's okay. I don't have to stuff this down. I can cry about it and it's okay. I can be sad and I can still walk my path. I can be grieving and that's okay. You know, like there's something very, acknowledging the end is such a big opening. It opens the new door in a lot of ways. And I think that's a really beautiful compliment to what we're letting go of, which is, again, the pining after, wishing, these intense, desperate desires. Now, in the present moment, we're called to accept reality. But in that, there's a lot of magic, right? And there's, when we work inside of reality, that's actually that's when our manifestations start to get cooking, right? That's so funny, Amy, that you've been, that mantra, it's okay, it's okay. it kind of reminds me, speaking of Italy and Italian citizenship, you know, there's, in my travels, Italians, they say, they're like, it's okay, it's okay. After, like, the worst thing that'll ever happen, like, like something will be, like, 2 hours late, and they'll be like, it's okay, it's okay. Like, nothing is a big deal in Italy. I don't know. And sometimes, me and my family joke about that. And, you know, I just, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. So what is coming in? What is coming in? The divine feminine. This is in our future. And why? This makes perfect sense. This literally makes perfect sense because, we let go of the pining. We acknowledge the reality of the situation and how to move forward in reality. And magically, we become more receptive to what actually wants to find us, right? And I said this thing to my coworker the other day, because he's a Gemini rising, and he just had the Saturn Kazemi in the 10th house of career. And I was just like, I don't know, I was just riffing. I was giving him like a mini reading while we were like just sitting at the desk together. And I was like, oh, well, what's happening in your career? And he was telling me a little bit about, like, balancing, like, acupuncture stuff, but also music stuff. And with the Saturn Kazemi in the 10th house, with the Gemini rising, I was like, you know, you will actually receive more if you figure out how to accept the limitations of your situation and expand in those limitations instead of wishing for a different scenario, right? And like literally like 3 or 4 days later, he came up to me. He was like, Mal, and granted, I forgot about this reading. I forgot about what I'd said. I always forget what I say. Sorry, guys. But he came up to me in the kitchen like a couple days later. He's like, Mal, thank you so much for saying that, because over the weekend, like, everything just aligned. And there was some gig that he got. And he was like, the minute I accepted what is and I accepted the limitation, like, a new opportunity lined up. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, right? So that's kind of what this is reminding me of with the divine feminine in our future. We're receiving something that is aligned for us, and it's because we're in better alignment with the limitations and the reality of the situation. And that actually makes us the magnet, you know, for whatever comes through, right? So I have high hopes on this Pisces new moon. I really do. And happy Pisces new moon to everybody. Last new moon before the eclipse. Next month, which will be a spicy one. And I want to do a few individual card pulls. Amy said, I've been using Queen of Cups as my grounding energy. Yeah, it's always good. The queens are great teachers. Let's do some individual card pulls with the Sacred Symbols Oracle deck, and my Fools Who Run with the Wolves transformative book club container begins Tuesday, so just in 2 days. So it'll be Tuesday the 12th. It's 6 to 8 central.
There's nothing scheduled on Tuesday.
Oh Christ. My Siri, did you just hear that? My Apple Watch just picked something up. So there's still room for you to join. Please come on in. If you feel like this spring is beckoning you into a deeper transformation and beckoning you into, you know, thinking about how to connect with yourself, your intuition more. Reading Women Who Run with the Wolves as a group is just such a powerful portal. You can just join the book club. And then there's also a secondary option that's, I call it like the astro coaching option. So it's 2 mini astrology readings throughout the semester with me. And we kind of talk a little bit about what's been coming up individually throughout the text. We're kind of talking a little bit more about goals and visions for the future, okay? So feel free to come on in. Come on into class. We start Tuesday. There's still room to join. And if you're in the Chicagoland area and you would like to attend my tarot meetup, that will be this Thursday, March 14th, DM me. I'll give you the details. And yeah, would love to have some new Chicagoans come into the tarot meetup as well. And that is that. Okay, Jessica, you said I'd love a card pull for my relationship. Totally. Yeah, let's see what's going on. Stormy. So I think one thing that I'm getting, Jess, is that it feels like maybe your partner, or maybe it's both of you, you and your partner, are kind of going through like a challenging moment. And I think when like we're both going through individual challenging moments, it can kind of create this feeling of maybe disconnection in the partnership or the relationship, because you know you're both managing so many interesting energetic shifts inside of your own selves, right? So if there is a feeling of disconnection, that's okay. And I think remembering too that this is a season, and every season of the relationship requires something different. So maybe brainstorming with your partner through this stormier season where both of you are going through maybe some difficult individual growing pains. What are ways where you guys can debrief and communicate and feel more connected to each other? Does that look like, does that look like couples counseling? Does that look like taking some kind of partnership communication course? Does that look like just reading the same book, like doing a little mini book club with both of you? You know, like whatever can increase a little bit of that connection, especially verbal, in this time of maybe choppy waters, I think would be really helpful. Okay. And Corey said, I love a card for the week. Thank you, Mel. Have a great week. Thank you. Let's see. Corey. Grounded. Ooh, yeah, that feels good for all the Pisces placements that you have, Corey. But this kind of reminds me that with this grounded card, I mean, the anchor is the symbol, right? And the anchor drops in water. So the anchor isn't trying to get away from water. It actually does find groundedness inside of the water itself, you know? And yeah, another weird synchronicity I was talking about with my Pisces rising friend the other day was how much we've both grown to love movement, and which was like not my reality at all the first like 23 years of my life. Like I hated gym class, I hated team sports or whatever. But once I figured out that I could enjoy movement and it actually made me feel more grounded. That's why I feel like sporty spice activities are actually so important for really watery people, because it's like, oh, that's feeling the sweat come from our pores, or, you know, like feeling our like, feeling like ourselves, our muscles getting stronger. It grounds us in an interesting way. And yeah, so this isn't me telling you to like, you know, run a marathon or something, but like focus this week. What is the movement that brings you joy? What's the movement that makes you feel like you're getting stronger? And how can you implement that more, especially, you know, as a way, as a means of spiritual practice? Okay. Honey Jelly, you said, can I have a card for the week? Yeah. Let's see. Ooh, we got a few things here, Honey Jelly. New life and home. Cool. Feels like some spring cleaning. At the very least, Honey Jelly, it feels like spring cleaning. But at the, and I am getting this home to be something literal. So I don't know if you're moving or what, or if there's like a shift going on in the home or something, but I do think spring cleaning is needed this week. You know, dust and clutter actually is a sort of it what it does is it stagnates the energy, and clutter doesn't let the energy move in a flowing way. I mean, that's the whole philosophy but behind feng shui, right? Like, how do I set up my living space or just my material objects in a way that make things flow, okay? So I think that's something that you might want to focus on this week. And I also have told this to people before, but if you're desiring a change, rearrange the furniture in your house or get a new bedspread that's in like a bright color or paint the front door or like do something that shifts the home in some way. I don't know if Libby's here, but I know Libby one time you painted your door blue or something. Yeah, you know, there's something like that coming through for you, honey jelly. Alexandra, you said a loving card for the first week of class. Ooh, I like the sound of that. That is great. That's actually the perfect example, Alexandra, like, of my whole, you know, diatribe today. It's like, okay, like, you've been thinking about these classes for years, and, you know, this week you're actually going to class. Like, that's very interesting. You got power and protection. So, yeah, I think just the message is, like, you're amazing, you're powerful, you're more than capable of, you know, taking in these classes. And it's really where you're meant to be right now. And the protection element is that you are divinely protected by your ancestors through this next iteration of your journey. So don't doubt it. You are where you're meant to be. Even if some things initially are challenging, you have the skill set to get through it. And yeah, I would say any paradigm or attitude of power is going to be really helpful. Okay, Celeste, you said I'd love a card for the week. Yeah. Let's see here. Celeste. Beep, boop, boop, boop. I don't know, something... Something wants to come. Oh, here we go. Okay, cool. Oy. Okay, so yeah, this makes sense. You know, the shadow came out, Celeste. So, yeah, I think, you know, I know you're in a period of grief. And, you know, I think there's something here where I'm trying to think, like, how society has taught us to grieve versus like what is the reality of it, and I think it's so different. But when I think about even like some sort of, I don't know, like vision of grief in like a period piece or like a movie, like it's like, okay, we drape the fireplace in white and we all wear black for 2 weeks and we don't do anything and we don't go out. And I'm literally thinking of like Downton Abbey or something, or like Little Women. Like I'm thinking of all these period pieces, period dramas. But I mean, in reality, that doesn't have to be true. If that's what you're feeling called to do, you can do that. But there's no rule that you can't, that you have to do, like, nothing, or, like, you don't have to, like, if you feel the weird sense of motivation, you can move forward with that. Grief can be, I'm grieving and I'm had this weird new idea that came through. I'm grieving and I did need to rest a lot today, but, and I also really did want to work on this. Or I'm grieving and, oddly, I feel more called than ever to, you know, facilitate my healing practices with others. I don't know, like, there's some kind of shadow with how you have to grieve versus, like, what the grief journey actually looks like for you. And really just owning that, and nothing is wrong, you know, with the way that you're feeling called to go on this journey. Nice, Emmy, you said your Saturn return is exact this week and you got a promotion. Hell yeah. I love that for you. We love it. Earth, Emmy. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously the Earth is the material realm, and I'm actually thinking, like, maybe this is very Capricorn rising of you, but I think with this promotion and maybe the pay raise, I think you're going to have more maybe resources to invest in something, and it might not be tomorrow, but it could be something like investing in a marketing class, or investing in obtaining some kind of skill, or boosting your website, or having more like advertising money to get your tarot scopes out there or whatever. By the way, everybody read Emmy's tarot scopes. But you know, there's something here about how the boost of abundance, material abundance, should be invested in an aligned way. And I think spirit is starting to ask you to think about that. Amy, you said, if you have time, I'll take a card with whatever message spirit has for me in this moment. Totally. Amy, you got trust. Yeah. Oh God, does this card really always comes out, at least for me, in moments where, you know, you are panicked and, you know, your inner child is freaking out about something, or you're dealing with a lot of the emotional body, right? And when we're in the emotional body, because we're sad, because we're grieving, because we're depressed, because we're angry, because we're healing something, when we're in the emotional body, sometimes we need to be there. And also, the emotional body a lot of the times doesn't allow us to click into that trust that everything's going to be okay, or that we still are on our path. And, you know, so I think spirit is just really reminding you, like, your ancestors are here with you, your spirit support is very much with you. Even though you're very much in the emotional body right now, and that's where you're living because it's just a circumstance right now, don't forget there's this higher self part of you that is very connected to the trust in the universe, right? So that's what I'm getting, Amy. And Corey, you said Sporty Spice vibes. Yeah. Around your age, I started running marathons. You did? That's awesome. Now I garden and landscape. Spirit says get to work. Yeah. Ellis, you said, can I have a card for the week? Affluence. It's funny, Ellis, because I feel like for the past couple weeks, like, there's been this theme of, like, hermiting and, like, kind of paying more energetic dollars to your own self and your own energy. And now maybe you're feeling a little bit more revived, and maybe it is a week where you're socializing more or going to some kind of meetup or group or going on a date or meeting someone new or something. But I have a feeling that there's some kind of community aspect to this week that's important. And even if it's online community or something along those lines, I'm wondering how you can connect more with others. And, you know, it's such that Libra, the Libra rising thing, like, you know, it's such a balance trying to find, like, how much do I need a hermit versus how much socialization do I need? So I think there's a balance that's coming in with that. I'm glad that resonated, Jessica. Honey Jelly, you said, thank you so much. You're spot on. You're so welcome. And Alexandra, you said, that reassures me. I'm on the track, walking path. I'm destined to walk. Totally. I agree, everyone. Well, you guys have a wonderful week. I hope that this Pisces new moon is, you know, a good time to, you know, do the thing. Okay. Cool, friends. If you have any questions about Fools Who Run With the Wolves, if you're really interested, but, you know, whatever, need a scholarship or payment plan, just let me know. I'm pretty flexible with that kind of thing. Starts Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central, and that's it. Okay, cool. My friends, sending you good vibes, and we'll see each other next week.